Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, this is Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, coming to answer your colour and style questions that you've either emailed me, left on the Facebook Inside Out Style Facebook page, or in one of my Facebook, my Inside Out Style Facebook Lounge group, which you are, of course, welcome to come and join and share your style, ask your style questions, get more tips and tricks to help you look stylish no matter what day of the week it is. So let's have a look at our first question today. Oops, just ripped the paper. Emma's asked, what body proportions? It's all about body proportions. If you have short and long body proportions, how do you dress them? Because the standard kind of body proportions we all see out there are either kind of a long body, short legs, or a short body and long legs. But what happens if you've got short bits in part of your body and long bits in other parts of your body? So it's not all long or all short. So then I think about each area. So when we think about each area, where we are proportionally long, we can add more detail. We can add more interest. We can add accessories, all those sorts of things. Where we are short proportionally, we want to keep plain and free of those sorts of details, particularly horizontal details. If we are going for horizontal details, they will further shorten up an area. So if we're proportionally short from the base of the chin to the bust peak, we don't want to add too much in the way of jewelry, necklaces, necklines, big scarves in particular. They will just add too much bulk. No low collars, things like that, that draws the eye down. Instead, we want to keep it a bit more plain and simple and free, or look for embellished items that are within that area. But really, often what you'll find proportionally, if you're short in this proportion, is that you'll often find that you need to take your clothes up from the shoulders. So there's just too much fabric between where the bust peak is and where the bust darts are and the shoulders. So often, really, in this proportion, we're looking at the fit of clothing and finding that often you'll find that if you pinch the shoulders up on clothes, they actually fit and look better. And that's because the proportions they've been sewn in are not your proportions. So that is one tip. If we're proportionally short from the bust to the waist, that's called short-waisted. And that means what we want to do is elongate that waist. So one of the things that's really important when we're thinking about elongating the waist is, are the girls up high? So what most of us do is we buy a bra, we adjust the straps once, and then we never think about it again. When in fact, what we want to do is readjust those straps pretty much every time we wear the bra, because the straps are holding 30% about of the weight of your bust. And if your bust is sitting lower because the straps have become kind of longer and unadjusted, then your breast will sit lower and that will further shorten your waist. So think about, is my bra fitting well? And if you haven't got a well-fitting bra, there are people out there who can help you find a really great fitting bra. But it's thinking about, I know I've got blog posts too on how to fit bras as well if you are looking for that information. So do think about that proportion and the waist. So how do I give the illusion of a longer waist? So the thing I don't want to do is add a belt to it. That just further breaks that area up and makes it look shorter proportionally. So just be wary, particularly a wide belt, a narrow belt, you might be able to get away with it if you have to have a defined waist. If you don't have a defined waist, just avoid the belting in that area at all. If you are thinking about then, do I tuck or don't I tuck? Generally, I'd say if you're short-waisted, avoid tucking more of the time than less. If you do tuck, tuck and then blouse out over the top. So that in fact, what we're doing is making that proportion look longer. And then also think about the size of the armholes, particularly of jackets and things, because if they come down low, they're basically coming into your waist. So you'll find that that makes your entire upper body appear larger as well. Then our next proportional area is our waist to our leg break. So this is about an inch and a half above the crotch, or 2 to 3 centimeters above the crotch, is our leg break. It's where the leg bends up and kind of attaches to the hip. So this proportion, if this is longer, what we want to do is make sure we end our tops a little bit longer. So halfway in between the waist and the leg break. If we are shorter in this proportion, then we'll want to shorten up those tops. If we are longer in this proportion, we'll also often find we need a higher rise trouser or pant. Higher rise skirts look better. In fact, you'll often find that skirts and dresses look much better than pants and trousers when you have a long rise. So it's thinking about not overdoing that kind of like, so it's that don't tuck in really high, because this is when we look like Harry High Pants. If you have a really long rise, I wouldn't be tucking something that's really smooth and even into, you know, that's something that's fitted into that and not having any blousing. So think about wearing your tops out. Think about even a curved hem that comes down so that it covers part of that rise area. A wide waistband is another thing you can think about. That breaks up the expanse between the waist and the leg break. Then we have kind of two of these proportional heads to about the knee. So if we are short through this proportion, so that's really the thigh proportion, this is often where we put on weight first. It's very common when someone is short proportionally through their thighs that they get the saddlebags, they get more weight through their thighs more easily. And that's because there's less space for that area, for the, you know, the weight to spread out over. So we've got shorter thighs again. This then affects how long the clothes we are wearing is, particularly this proportion as far as legs go. So it's ideally then what we want to do is we want to make the legs appear longer. And this is why with skirts and dresses, we want to sit them just above the knee rather than below the knee if we can, because what this does is makes that proportion appear longer, because we have that ground to the knee proportion that usually is proportionate. You don't see too many people who've got a short ground to knee proportion. You'll see the occasional person, but most commonly this is not a particularly short proportion. So when we put the skirt at just above the knee, what we are doing is making the next proportion, which is the knee to the leg break, appear just as long as the ground to the knee proportion is. So thinking about, you know, where I am longer, I will add more detail and interest, and where I am shorter, I will keep free of detail and interest. So if you happen to have shorter thighs, don't put too many pockets and distressing and detail and all those sorts of things on your jeans and your skirts and all that sort of stuff, because all that's doing is cluttering up that area. When I think about proportions, I think about rooms. If I have a large room, I can fit a lot more furniture in it. I can fit more knickknacks. I can fit more decoration. I can fit more things in there. If I have a small room, if I cram it full of stuff, it just looks cluttered really easily. So if you think about your proportions being a bit like rooms, if you are proportionally short in an area, it's a small room, keep it clean, keep it, you know, don't try and jam everything into it. If you have a long proportion, you can add more stuff there. You can put more detail. You can have the knickknacks in that part of your body, that room in your body. That can be kind of an interesting way to think about. So when we're thinking proportionally, is if I've got shorter legs than body overall, I then want shorter skirts, shorter tops and jackets, shorter sleeves, shorter necklaces. If I've got long legs proportionally, then I want longer skirts, longer jackets and tops, and longer sleeves and longer necklaces, because it balances that out. Now, if I'm fairly balanced, where the top and the bottom, so the head to the leg break and then the leg break to the ground, are fairly even, well, what I want to do is go in the middle. I would neither want below the knee or above the knee. I want on the knee. I don't want really low tops to the upper thigh. I don't want waist, you know, height. What I want is that kind of middle of the hip, the where the hip bones are sort of length. And then sleeves, well, that can really often depend on the weather, whether I want longer or shorter. Thing is, a three-quarter sleeve always makes your legs look longer anyway. So it's a great trip tip for anyone to go with. So hopefully that gives you a few more tips about thinking about dressing your proportions and what you can do in each proportion. Okay, next question. Okay, so Aussie said, with activewear, now that we're home all the time, thinking about wearing more activewear, with colour blocking on things like the bomber jacket, tracksuit type jackets, which to choose for your body shape. So which to have lighter and darker? What about the shape? Some of them go down, some have an upward shape. How is how is that kind of color blocking on those jackets going to be flattering for you? So this goes back to thinking about, if light colors advance and dark colors recede, what do I want to make larger? What do I want to make less obvious? So if I want to make an area look larger, I'll put the light color on there. If I want to make something look less obvious, I'll put the darker color on there. But remember too that warm colors advance and cool colors recede. So when I'm talking warm here, I'm talking overtone of warmth. So red, orange, yellow advance, blue, green, violet recede. So therefore, if I'm say having a tracksuit and it's blue and red, neither of which the value, so how light or dark the color, is pretty much the same. Then the red is the advancing color, so the more obvious, it acts like a light color there, and the blue is the receding color. So thinking about what is advancing, what is receding. So what I want to make people notice or make look a little larger, I put the light color or the warm color on. What I want to make look less obvious or, you know, camouflage, I put the darker color or cooler color on. Then thinking about the shapes. You might have a horizontal, you might have a diagonal kind of blocking. So then thinking about what are the shapes I am looking at. So when we're thinking about this, comes back to how lines work. Horizontal lines broaden and also balance. So if I'm say an A shape or a pear shape, what I'd love is some horizontal lines up in my upper body that balance out my hips and thighs. So I would look for something that is quite horizontal rather than being diagonal. Generally you'll often find it'll be a diverging diagonal, more like an arrow point at the top and it goes downwards. This is great if you've got really broad shoulders. So if you're a V shape, I'm looking for that diverging diagonal where the point is up closest to your face and then the lines go outwards down to probably your arms sort of thing. So it's like a halter neck or a raglan sleeve. Those diverging diagonals will then, you know, make your shoulders look smaller, and so therefore that will balance out hips if you are say a V shape and you want to make your shoulders look less wide. If you have just, sometimes you'll have some kind of, it just runs the whole way down the sleeve. Now this tends to very much behave, because we've got this line that goes down the sleeve, this often tends to also soften the shoulder line as well, so it makes it a little bit less obvious. So there are some little tips when you're thinking about, I'm looking at these tracksuits and which one am I going to wear, because now I'm in tracksuits all day because I never leave the house. They are some little tips to think about. Okay, and our final question for today. Carol said, what items does everyone need in their wardrobe, particularly if you want a small wardrobe? Now, this is the how much is that, like how long is a piece of string question. Because there is no one answer. With every wardrobe, the only thing we have to think about is being not naked. Then it's our, what is my version? What do I like to wear? There are some people who wear pants or trousers all the time and they never wear skirts or dresses. There are other people who wear skirts and dresses pretty much all the time and they never wear pants or trousers. There are people who will wear jeans all the time and never wear dress pants, and there are people who wear dress pants and who never wear a pair of jeans. There's no one answer here. So really when I think about, when I'm looking and I'm helping someone with their wardrobe, what I'm talking to them is, what are their likes and dislikes? What do they need? What's their lifestyle? What's the practicality issues? What do they have to consider? So all those things, and of course, what's their personal taste? All these things come into this question, and this is why, you know, some of the things you can think about is, if we're talking, say, tops and bottoms, generally you need more tops than you do bottoms, because we wash our bottoms less than our tops. Our tops tend to get dirtier, we drop more food on them. And also too, is our bottoms are often in darker neutrals and colours that they're not showing up as much dirt and grime from the day. So they can get a few more wears without being washed in the way that the top may need to be topped. Plus we sweat in the underarms and things, so we generally need to wash our tops more frequently. So I'll generally say, you know, it's kind of almost like four tops for every bottom. Could be a good ratio that you might look at. Then, of course, how many layers do we need? And this comes down to location, whether you're a hot or a cold person. Now, what does a hot or a cold person mean? So this is really important. A lot of people never think about this. I am a cold person. I feel cold all the time. You know, other people will say, oh, it's a bit chilly today. And I'm already in 5 layers of wool and thermal underwear. And I'm still feeling cold. I find it very hard to warm up. In fact, if you feel my skin a lot of the time, it feels cool compared to most people. And so I really feel the cold. And in fact, I feel the cold so much it hurts. Like it aches, my body aches and hurts quite a lot when other people are not feeling it. And the number of times I've been places where people are going, whoa, it's a bit warm. And I'm thinking, I can't warm up. Like I'm actually in pain. So, you know, the one time a day, even though I'm kind of menopausal, at 2 a.m, I will have one hot flush and I'll get very, very, very hot. And then I'll get cold again. That's my, you know, I kind of always thought maybe when I hit menopause, I'll get more hot flushes, but I don't seem to be like that. Just apart from the 2 a.m. one. The rest of the time, I'm actually on the cold side. So I am a cold person, which means I require way more layers than many other people do. In fact, my average winter day, I am wearing 5 layers. That is average for winter. Right now, in autumn, I'm averaging 3, unless it's got really nice and warm in the middle of the day, but the rest of the time, morning and evening, 3 layers. And often one of those will be wool or some sort of like really warm fabric that is made for cooler weather. There's other people, and I have met, you know, when I've gotten their wardrobe, I'm thinking, whoa, there's nothing here for winter. And then I'm going, oh, I can't ever wear anything that's not short sleeve. Like they wear their short sleeve garments the whole year round. They don't need long sleeve garments. They certainly don't like layers and they get really hot really easily. They are the opposite of me. They are the hot people. I am a cold person. So this is why when we're going, I need a small wardrobe, a cold person's small wardrobe is always going to be larger because they require more layers than a hot person's wardrobe. It's also, of course, going to relate to the season. What season are you in? And it's going to relate to your location. Like, are you living somewhere where there is snow? Are you living somewhere where it is tropical? All these things come into it, which is why, you know, I can't really give you some amazing answer of you need, you know, 5 tops, 2 bottoms and 2 jackets or anything like that, because that does not work for everyone based on their life, their lifestyle, their needs, whether or not they're hot or cold. So when we want to think about what do we need in a wardrobe, it's so related to you and your needs. It's very individual. So you know, you can go, I like skirts or dresses, or I like pants, or I like to wear both. And what do I like? So I want to have those options. And this is another question. Do I like many options? Do I dress on mood? Do I dress, you know, on my feeling of the day? Or do I just like have a very practical and I just like to go down one way? Often people who like more options, they might have an idea of what to get dressed in one day, and then the next day they wake up and think, no, I don't want to wear that. That doesn't feel right anymore. We've got some blog posts and stuff about that as well, about dressing with intuition. Often it's much more mood-based dressing. So of course, that also comes into the equation. There are some people who are really happy to have very limited choice. You know, I look at someone like a Mark Zuckerberg in his grey t-shirt and jeans every day, a Steven Spielberg and his black skivvies and black jeans. You know, basically there are people in the world, and I look at Ellen DeGeneres. She very much is a uniform dresser. I look at Anna Wintour, another uniform dresser. They basically dress in that version of the same thing every single day, and they're happy with it. That allows them to have their creativity out of whatever they are wearing. There are other people who enjoy the whole process of putting things together and putting different things together and layering in different ways. And that means you need a larger wardrobe. So sadly, I can't give you an exactly what you need in your wardrobe, but really you need some tops, you need some bottoms, you need things that are going to work for your lifestyle. What are you doing now? What's required of you? I know when my kids were young, I wore jeans and pants all the time because I was down on the floor a lot. Of course, once they hit primary school and I didn't need to be on the floor all the time, I stopped wearing the jeans and pants all the time and actually started wearing dresses all the time. Because I really enjoyed that one garment dressing in many ways. Like I just can have one garment. I don't have to think about what top goes with what bottom and what length are the tops and the bottoms and other things. And, you know, like getting a dress is very, very easy. So that is another thing to consider when you are thinking about this whole question of, of what do you need in a wardrobe, even a small wardrobe. So now I've got capsule wardrobe formulas, and you can work those things out for yourself of what really works for you. But there is no one answer about what we need. But I think about it, what do we need in a wardrobe? Well, we need generally more tops and bottoms. We need layers if we are a cold person in particular, or depends on the weather. If we've got that kind of weather that, you know, in the morning it's cold and then in the middle of the day it gets warmer, we might need more layers we can take on and put on and take off as, you know, the weather changes. And then, of course, we need shoes and accessories. We might like to wear dresses. We might like skirts as bottoms or pants as bottoms. We might like shorts. I mean, all these things come into it. So, sadly, no one answer. But hopefully that's given you something to think about when you're thinking about what is ideal for your small wardrobe or a little capsule or anything like that. Because this really, in the end, all dressing, all the stuff I tell you, it's all just vague guidelines, really. In the end, you have to work out what really matters for you. So thanks for watching today. Please do send me your questions, and I will answer them in upcoming sessions. And of course, head over to the blog, insideoutstyleblog.com. I'll be linking to useful tips and articles to help you find more information. And of course, you can listen to this as a podcast as well. And you can find it on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and all those kind of places as well, as on the blog, insideoutstyleblog.com. Look forward to chatting with you again soon. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and colour tips. And don't forget to visit insideoutstyleblog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of colour and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.